Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
All right, you guys. It is Friday after SmackDown, the SmackDown before Saturday night's main event. And we are finally back after we took a little break from doing these show reviews, but it's good to be back. What's up, fellas? Welcome back. How are you guys doing? I missed you guys, man. I got to be honest.
We missed you too, mate. We missed you too.
But I needed to take a break from y'all crazy motherfuckers. No, I'm just kidding.
I am feeling good. I am honestly surprised at the fact that we got 6 matches out of this tonight.
Yeah, we did.
Damn.
Yeah, there's a lot of wrestling on tonight.
I'm doing good. I earlier today booked a gig. I'm doing a voiceover work for a dude's online comic book shop. And he paid me in advance. I got another guy in my email working a business deal out to read and do his entire audiobook. So,
hell yeah. Doing some voiceover work. That's what's up, blood.
Yeah. His Raymond Reddington shit on TikTok has been doing numbers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, who the hell started that?
You what?
Who the hell started that?
Oh, I've been doing that impression for years, but I started getting into it so much that I just figured, you know what? I have an actual fedora collection, a legitimate fedora collection that I never did anything with. That was in the top of my closet for years. I've never worn any of these. I just collect them.
Huh.
And I was like, well, I have the overcoat. I got this. I got the voice. Why don't I just, I have the fucking green screen. Why don't I just make these like premium videos? And then people just started sending me their ideas and submissions for scripts. And I was like, fuck it. Perfect content. I don't got to go hunt for the content. You guys make me the content that I created.
Yeah. The scripts that these followers of his have been coming up with are fucking outstanding.
They're really beautiful. I got to, we're going to let Snug go in a sec, but I got really honored to, I got to read a guy whose mom passed away not too long ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Andy Seaman. And he honored me with allowing me to read the memoir that he wrote regarding the last day that she was alive and what followed. Mm-hmm. That was a blessing for me. So it's been very rewarding, in my opinion. But yeah.
That favorite one is the conversation with the Joker. That thing was fucking great.
A lot of people like that one. But let's talk about the wrestling.
All right, let's do it, fellas, because like we mentioned earlier, there was a lot of matches, and 6 matches for a 3-hour show is a lot for a WWE program. But we're not going to get into it like we usually do it. We like to just talk about the most interesting things to us, at least, or what we think is the most interesting things. One of the most interesting things that we saw tonight was the return of the White 6 in the main event of the tag team match. Of all places, they showed up and they came after the tag team champions and Fraxium, who was challenging for the tag team titles tonight. And I thought, yes, not only do we get the White 6 back, we were wondering where they were, when they were going to come back, when is Bo Dallas' injury going to be over, and we missed the White 6. And I was really excited to see them come back, but they also came back in the tag team division. I have been complaining, we have been complaining about the tag team division on SmackDown, how it needed something more. They needed to do something more. Yes, they're having these crazy ladder matches, but I wasn't really feeling the tag team division. Maybe now we got the Wyatt 6 mixed in with the tag team division. Maybe now it'll get more interesting. Not only that, but Alexa Bliss is also on SmackDown. And the Wyatt 6, they're called the Wyatt 6, but there's 5 people. Maybe they're going to add Alexa Bliss somewhere down the line. But things are getting interesting now that the Wyatt 6 are back. Mr. Blood, what did you first think when you saw the Wyatt 6 come back? And were you excited about this at all?
I actually haven't gotten to see it yet because the clips haven't gone up. But I can comment on it pretty easily. We all know Bo has been out with an injury since the end of last year. And unfortunately, you have sometimes in professional wrestling where when one member of a group gets injured, they all get taken off of TV. And then sometimes you get lucky, right? Where like when the New Day, they were rotating on injuries for a while, right? But they would always leave one of them in the singles division while the other was out injured. Or if all three of them before Big E went out, they would just become a tag team themselves while the other person was off healing and then made a surprise return. You know, so it's same thing with a very recent example, the War Raiders. When Eric went out with that injury, they left Ivar in the singles division for a long time until he got injured. So, and he was doing great. So it's one of those things where it's great to have him back, but it does beg the question, and it begs two questions. One, it's great that they're back. I'm glad they're back. I'm glad that they're trying to inject some new fuel into the tag division, but it comes just weeks before a reported draft happening sometime in June. So, are they going to be left off the draft, as is Alexa? That's question number one. Question number two is, well, I understand Bo was injured, but why couldn't the rest of them still be there as his conduit to keep telling these stories in the tag division? Because they have tag teams that they can chop up inside of that. Nikki could have still been in the women's division vying for the mid-card titles, in my opinion, and it could all be tied in through spooky shit. Now, the other thing is, even if he's injured, there are plenty of times where superstars are injured and they still come to all the shows just as non-active competitors, valets, managers. I feel like Bo could have easily been doing that and kind of involved in stories without being physically involved in stories. But he could have been there helping them get told, and there would have been no reason to leave them off. I feel like there was a way around this. So for me, I'm glad that they're back. A little odd to bring them back now of all times, because Bo's apparently been okay for like a month and a half, 2 months now. So to bring them back right now was a little weird. At this point, I would feel like you should have just waited until the draft and let it be a surprise. Let them return on the night of the draft.
Just really quick, we got a couple comments I want to read off. Jay Beth Huggins says, happy birthday, Bray Wyatt. Today apparently was Bray Wyatt's birthday, which is another reason why they decided to bring him back today. And Jason Yes Movement says, Bo could have been on mic and manage.
Exactly. Now, also, rest in peace to Bray Wyatt, beautiful soul. And if they brought him back today, if they were waiting for today, I can understand the sentimental reason for doing that. But at the same time, I don't understand the business reason for it. So unless you were going to make it a big deal that it was Bray's birthday and celebrate his memory and then have them return as a surprise, although it wasn't going to be a surprise because it was reported earlier in the day that the Wyatts were apparently going to be on this show. That being said, yes, Alexa is on the same show as him now, but it looks like she's in some kind of storyline right now with Charlotte. And as I said a couple weeks ago, I wonder if she's going to be the conduit to try to lead Charlotte into the Wyatt Six as well, or if she doesn't follow suit, they turn on her, then we get an Alexa versus Charlotte program. But it's one of those things where it's like, okay, again, interesting, but I would have waited to bring them back until the draft as a surprise. Maybe they're the last thing on the show. We go to, and the people getting drafted for you. Lights go out. And then their music hits. And it's like, oh, shit. Would have been a crazy pop. Insane reveal to end the draft. Because last year's drafts were bullshit, if you remember that. And they were boring as fuck. Coming in to attack the tag team champions. Because they attacked Street Profits, correct? And they also attacked Fraxium. Did they physically attack Fraxium as well?
Fraxium, DIY, basically everyone else that was out there.
So here's the weird thing then. If they're a babyface stable, why go after Fraxium? Fraxium are faces, correct? Mm-hmm. So you'd think that when the Wyatts attack people, there's always an overarching message, right? There's usually a storyline like, you know, reason. There's a pattern to it. You abandon your family. You're this. And they go after those types. What is the story to attack even the faces in this scenario? So I like it, but it to leave it this way, it leaves more questions than it answers. And that can be a good thing and a bad thing. So we'll see what happens.
I'm glad the Wyatts are back. It's been a while and I've missed them. It's also nice that they're in the, it's great that they're in the SmackDown tag team division, because to be honest, it's the worst tag team division right now. NXT is even doing better than SmackDown. And I'm pretty sure I'm the one who called this, or predicted this, that I think that any two of the Wyatts are going to be the ones to dethrone the Street Profits. I'm pretty sure I'm the one who said that, but I don't know.
It's possible.
In case I haven't said it, I think any two of the Wyatts are taking the titles from the Street Profits. But it's just nice to have them back. Even if they do get drafted to Raw again, cool. But it's just amazing to have them back. And especially today, which, to be honest, even if it wasn't reported that they were coming, fans would still be like, oh, today's Bray's birthday, why not have the Wyatts come back? The fans still probably would have guessed it. So it's just amazing to have them back.
I guarantee you that is the reason why. They did it specifically for closure when it comes to Bo. Because I guarantee you, Bo was the one who pitched it. I would not be surprised if when it comes to the return, Bo was the one that went up to Triple H and went, hey, Bray's birthday is actually on a Friday. Let's do it then. A group that Bray Wyatt wanted to form fully before he died, that Bo took over the mantle for. Why not have us return on his birthday? And I get blood. I do get it when it comes to the business side of things. It makes no sense with that. But it was specifically for the feeling with it being Bray's birthday was the entire reason why they came back. That is why. When it comes to the match itself, the match was fun, I guess. I mean, it's Fraxium. It's what they do. They're quick. It's just how they are. Street Profits work smart, though. Going after them specifically because of their speed, using that against them. That was smart. And of course, they were going to do whatever it took to retain. I honestly would have done the same thing. I get it. Little bit upset that it ended in DQ, because I would not have wanted it to end in DQ, especially since we have all since learned not to trust the copyright stuff. So the way I was thinking it would have happened is have the match end at a pin, and then all of a sudden let the lights go out right as the copyright stuff is coming out. Kind of like they did with CM Punk's return at War Games. How they put up the copyright stuff only for us to hear the scratch. That, honestly, I think would have fit better. Because it wouldn't have a really decent, honestly, tag match end in DQ, especially for a title defense. With the Street Profits specifically, a group that, let's be honest, probably doesn't like disqualification endings when it comes to defenses. So I honestly would have had them return after the match instead of during it. But it works. Also, I just got a Twitter notification saying that Phraxium is terrified. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah, so was,
you really do so was Montez Ford. Want to fuck with the Wyatt Six.
Montez Phraxium Ford was over there. Montez Ford was over there praying and shit.
Yeah. It's like they're terrified of them, as they should be. As they should be. You really want to ask somebody why you should be terrified of them? Ask Chad Gable. I dare you. Ask Chad Gable and you will see. Yeah. What Toxic is holding up right now, if you're only listening to it, he is holding up a main event Jey Uso figure. Ask him. He full blown said, you know what? They want the Fireflies back. Go ahead. I don't want to fuck with them. He literally said that. It is the fact that you absolutely should be terrified of the Wyatt Six.
I just saw the segment right now because I needed to basically get all the information, get all the stuff fresh in my head. Who said that SmackDown's tag team division sucks? Who said that? Tommy, you're a fucking dickhead.
Snug.
That was me. And I could have sworn it was.
That wasn't me.
I could have sworn it was all of us, but
what the fuck is wrong with me? Damn it. Fuck.
No, Toxic was the one holding his hand up, not me.
Oh, we're all wearing fucking glasses. So yeah, I'm the one who said NXT's tag team
division is better than SmackDown.
I think I literally just noticed we all wear glasses. I'm the only one wearing his contacts.
Yeah. I just said that. But anyway, yeah, whoever said that anyway, you're a fucking idiot. SmackDown's tag team division is probably the best thing that has gotten me engaged into SmackDown. The mid-card scene on SmackDown is much better than the shit that they're doing on Monday Night Raw. And that's a fact. NXT could use a little bit of work. That's just my opinion at the end of the day. The tag team division in particular on SmackDown is actually fucking entertaining. Maybe because I'm the only one that likes the energy that they have and the flippy-doos and that. Look at me turning into an AEW fan. Fuck me. Anyway, the segment itself, the match itself, didn't watch the match, unfortunately. But the return of the Wyatt Six, I legit felt Bray Wyatt's presence as the lights went out and they showed their presence. I felt Bray Wyatt's presence as the Wyatt Six made their presence in the ring. Oh, that hit me hard. The Sister Abigail on Gargano, I believe it was, at the end, the lights go out and the crowd launches the Fireflies. And the birthday cake, bro. The fucking birthday cake in the middle of the ring. As Uncle Howdy screams, "My life for you," or some shit. I think it was something like that. And he blows the candle out. And then the fucking jump scare at the end. I fucking hate jump scares. I fucking hate that shit. I'm not a horror fan. I hate that shit. I can't deal with jump scares, but I can deal with horror themes in that, but I can't deal with jump scares. But yeah, rest in peace, Wyndham Rotunda. Happy birthday, mate. I know you'd be very proud of how far your brother has come as Uncle Howdy. And when you see me, run.
Well, I didn't watch this fucking match either because I'm not a fan at all of this tag team division that we have on SmackDown. But I did see the ending. And I saw the birthday cake. I didn't really understand it. I had a feeling that, you know, it was some type of symbolism for something because that's all they do, right? Now, Mr. Blood, earlier you said, like, business-wise, you don't understand why they kept them off TV. And I think, like, part of the reason why they kept them off TV is even I was excited to see them return. And I think if they kept them on TV this whole entire time and then you just bring back Uncle Howdy, I don't think it would have had the same impact that they made tonight because they were all gone.
I agree with the impact of, like, just have, like, because it would have obviously just been, hey, Uncle Howdy returns to in-ring action for the first time in 6 months here tonight live on SmackDown. You know, like, I get it. But at the same time, it's a weird thing, right? Some people, some talents, some groups have this odd ability that they can go away for a year and they never lose their momentum, right? Becky Lynch, prime example, just returned just as hot as she was the day she left on the day she returns. The Rock could go away for another 12 years, come back, and they'll explode. Mm-hmm. You know, same thing with John Cena. Some people just never lose the momentum. They have you because they're so fucking over. They just got you every time. The Wyatts are a weird case where I feel like, in parts because of their presentation, in parts because of the mystery and mystique behind them, but also because of what they represent and, rest his soul, whom they represent, whom they exist for. I think in proxy to them being directly related to the character of Bray Wyatt and the man Wyndham Rotunda, they will always be over no matter what because of his memory and because they exist to honor his memory and continue his legacy. So I can also see the side where keeping them off TV doesn't affect their momentum at all, because you saw it tonight. They come back, crowd is fucking nuts. It was a great crowd tonight. So I can see where keep them off TV so they can always remain a package deal makes the most business sense. I can also see having them come back on a night like tonight is good for a sentimental sense and a feel-good sense. I'm okay with it either way. It just, in certain lights, I was like, I would have waited a couple more weeks, you know, the draft. But having them back either way, they're going to get a pop regardless. So this is still good for business, period.
Yeah, and that was the other point too that I was gonna make. Like, you know, I'm a fan of you know, Bray Wyatt, and you know, the people were always gonna love him, and his passing was unfortunate. But like, Mr. Blood, you also said, like, these guys are always gonna be over because of who they are, what they represent, who they represent. But even that, there's only so much that you can do of that. There's only so much that you can, like, dedicate to, yes, Bray Wyatt. After a, yeah, while, even you've, that's going to get old. No matter.
Stand on 2 feet eventually. Yes. You're, yeah, 100% correct. It'd be like if Cody just always only banked on the fact that his father is the American Dream.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of the reason why some fans turn on him, because they feel like he only exists to bring up the memory of his dad. But Cody, for years, in my opinion, has always proven to stand on his own 2 feet. Because if you're going to say that, kind of feel like you can say that about every single second and third generation superstar, period, that are all Nepo babies, that all exist as a legacy continuance of their predecessor. And that's not fair. That's like saying Randy is only important because of Bob Orton. That's not true. His legacy is double and triple surpassed the career and legacy of that of Bob Orton. But he's still the son of Bob Orton. He's still a, I think, third generation superstar. So, because his uncle. But at the same time, it's like, eventually you've got to be able to go out there and go, hey, you know what? Best way to do it. Best way to put this. People act like Charlotte is only there and got good because of her dad. No, Charlotte got in the door because of her dad. She stayed because of her. And her hard work, her dedication, her passion, her athleticism. That's what kept her in the dance. So when it comes to these guys, they may be a legacy continuance of the thoughts and the emotions, the creativity of Bray Wyatt. But you are right. Eventually, Bo is going to have to stand on what Bo is great at. The rest of them are going to have to stand on what makes them great. Because eventually, when this group splits, and all things must end eventually, and this will too end at some point, and probably in the next year and a half to two, you've got to imagine, this only has a shelf life for so long. You can only keep a stable like this together for so long before it gets stale. Look at the Nexus. Look at the Bloodline. You know, look at the Shield.
Dude, even the Undertaker has fucking gone through changes like the American Badass.
The whole reason he went to the American Badass is when he went out on injury, when he was still Ministry of Darkness Taker, he didn't want to come back doing the same thing because he felt like it was running its course. His own words. And he said, I want to come back, but I want to come back reinvented. Eventually, you have got to shake shit up, or you get left in the past and you just become a nostalgia act. And I don't want the Wyatts to be a nostalgia act in the memory of Bray Wyatt. So, yes, you are 100% correct. Eventually, we've got to see stuff that's not just there because it's Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, I'm at that point already. And I love Bray. I'm a huge fan. But, we already saw that in their first run. Like, their first entire, how long were they on TV? Like, what, like 3-4 months or whatever it was?
Yeah, because they got taken, they a couple months. Then they got taken off because they didn't have a story. They were waiting on Alexa Bliss's return. We're pausing for that. That didn't happen. They brought him back a little bit. Then the injury happens, and they were off TV again. So this is technically their third emergence since they formed.
Yeah, like, let's do something else now. Like, let's, we get it, okay?
We really haven't gotten much from them other than a feud with Alpha, with Chad. And when they came back, it was a feud over, I think, Chad again, or tag titles or something like that. And that's just happening.
It was the Miz and Karrion Kross.
Karrion Kross, that's who it was. And that right there, that's a sad thing. This is their third reemergence, and I already forgot what their last feud was. So you're right. We need a little something. If they're going to do this, they've got to do something different. You're right.
All right, cool. I'm glad we agree on that. Let's go back to the beginning, because I want to get, I wanted to start off with the Bray Wyatt return that happened at the end of the show, but I'm going to backtrack to the beginning because Julia, who was announced, was officially part of SmackDown last week, had her debut match in a Money in the Bank qualifying match of all matches. And boy, am I in heaven right now with all these fucking multi-person matches every single fucking day, it seems like. But we had an interesting start with Tiffany Stratton coming out. Then she got interrupted by Alexa Bliss. And they had a nice little stare down. Alexa Bliss, too. I think this is the first time I've heard her cut an in-ring promo since she came back. And she sounded pretty good on the mic, I thought. She sounded genuine. She sounded like herself. She sounded like a grown, adult, mature person. She wasn't out there, like, doing anything goofy or silly, or not that I was able to tell. So that was good to see. And then Alexa Bliss gets interrupted by Charlotte Flair. And now we have Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, and Tiffany Stratton all in the ring, which I thought was really interesting. Charlotte Flair announced that she's never won Money in the Bank, but she's going for it. And I thought, holy shit, what if she actually wins it? Usually when Charlotte Flair says, I'm going to win, it's like a 80-20% chance that Charlotte Flair is actually going to win the damn thing. So the opening match was Charlotte Flair versus Julia versus Zelina Vega. You have the Women's United States Champion. You have Julia, who just debuted. And you have Charlotte Flair, who's like the best fucking female wrestler on the roster, other than probably Tiffany Stratton. So it was one hell of an opening match. I wasn't sure how this was going to go. Julia ended up winning the match. She advances in this qualifying match. And I really like how they started this match, because they did the thing with Io Sky when it was Rhea Ripley and Bianca, how Io Sky was a little lesser. They made her feel smaller compared to Bianca and Rhea. They did the same thing here with Zelina Vega and Charlotte and Julia. I just want to see, just give me Charlotte versus Julia. I know Zelina Vega is a United States champion, but I just want to see Charlotte versus Julia. That's it. Julia got the win, which I thought was, I thought that was good. I was hoping for Charlotte just so I can see the people get mad at her again, but it was Julia. Toxic, what did you think about this?
I actually called this in the live that me and Tommy were watching for SmackDown because Snug wasn't streaming because he's taking a break. But I called that Julia was going to win. I thought Charlotte was going to take the pin, but it was actually Zelina Vega who took the pin. It's good that Julia won because now being a new member of the SmackDown roster, it's good that she won because she can get that push and she can get more over as a heel or face or whatever the hell she is now, because I genuinely don't remember anymore. She's confusing. But it's good that Julia won because I don't know. It's just I'm glad she won. She deserves it because let's be honest. Do we want Charlotte, other than blood, do we want Charlotte to win Money in the Bank? Hell no. Okay, shut up, Snug. Do we want Zelina Vega, who has, one or two title defenses so far? Hell no. Not hating on her, but hell no. So I think it was a good pick for Julia to win, but I still think Charlotte should have taken the pin because then you could have a few more matches before Money in the Bank between the two. And that would put Julia more over, but I'm still fine with what we got.
First thing I'm going to say, quickly go back to the promo. I do love the fact that she found a way to slip in an almost exact quote to her first run. When she was talking about Charlotte, she did the whole "I am the queen" like shit, like she did in her first run, specifically with the promo that she did back in the day when she was just like, "But I am the queen. I don't need anyone else. I don't need anybody. But everybody needs a friend, even a narcissistic bitch like you." And that was specifically said to Charlotte. I absolutely love that callback. Now, let's go to the match itself. Snug and Blood, I'm going to say fuck you, the both of you, because this is what I'm going to say. I completely agree with Toxic, and I said this in the live that we were watching. Charlotte does not need another fucking title reign for a long time, let alone Miss Money in the Bank. She doesn't need it. She truly does not need it. Julia is definitely the one that needs the push. And I also said this during the thing. We were talking about who we thought was going to win. Toxic said Julia first. And then I also said Julia, because of the fact that she just signed to SmackDown. So obviously, she's the one out of the three that needs the push the most to make her look more legitimate, especially after the loss that they just took to Io Sky and Rhea Ripley.
No, you're right. You're right, Tommy. Give me a second real quick because... No, you're right about that, but also Zelina Vega is the Women's United States Champion. I thought for sure if anyone was going to eat this pin, it was going to be Charlotte. I mean, I'm like, you can't beat the person that's debuting, but you can't beat your newly crowned Women's United States Champion. But I guess they got bigger plans for Charlotte.
Yeah, I do get that. And I do think that they do have bigger plans for Charlotte via the conversations that she's been having backstage with Alexa Bliss. Mm. That has to mean something. We don't know fully yet, but there has to be something there. There just has to be. And when it comes to Zelina Vega, I get it. I get your thoughts on that, that you really don't want to pin your United States champion. But here's the thing. My mind keeps wrapping around one specific cash-in. Austin Theory.
What if
they pull that with the women's?
Explanation?
He cashed in on the United States title. He is the only one to cash in on a mid-card. And I get it. I get it. I'm going to get backlash for that. I know for a fact that I am. But think about it. They have pulled the trigger on it before, although it was under Vince's control because there was bigger plans for the world title, so he couldn't really cash in on that. But still, just imagine how it would be if Julia ends up getting Miss Money in the Bank, Zelina Vega still has the United States title, and she ends up cashing in on Zelina and getting it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a possibility. I know I'm going to get
back for that, but still. Just imagine the pop.
Very likely. Go ahead, BT.
I didn't see this match because fuck the women's division on SmackDown. It's the most boring division on SmackDown. That's what's boring on SmackDown for me. What the women are doing. The tag division stuff is fine, but what the women have been doing, the Chelsea Green and fucking Zelina Vega stuff, it's boring. It is. It's starting to get I think Chelsea Green is getting, her gimmick is getting very repetitive and a bit on my skin recently. Getting a bit annoying. But yeah, Julia randomly hopping on SmackDown, saw it coming because she legit said to Roxanne that she's done tagging with her off air, off, not on Raw, off air. We saw a backstage interview with Roxanne and Julia. That's how that happened. But Julia winning, heading straight to a Money in the Bank. Very interesting choice. Pinning Zelina Vega, your newly crowned champion, as a debutante? You have no idea of the expectation you have now just put on Julia. Because you have just sword, you like sent her on a rocket unintentionally. Yeah, I think this whole thing was booked terribly. They booked themselves in a corner yet a fucking again. And I think this was just a horror movie. This was a horror movie.
As far as the segment was concerned leading into the match, I agree with you, Snug, that felt like I haven't heard Alexa cut a promo, a normal fucking promo, in eons. And it was nice to have her back on her game because she was always a great shit talker. And Charlotte getting that mega heat, which starting to feel like a lot of go-away heat, but screw y'all. That's, to me, go away heat's some of the best kind of heat because it's legitimate, real heat. And if there's one thing you want professional wrestling, is genuine feeling. I got to say, and I'll say that I'm finally going to just put the nail in the coffin on this and say this. I just don't buy Tiffany Stratton as a champion. I don't. I don't like her as champion. I'm not even a fan of her. Her in ring, she's decent, but she's greener. She's as green as turtle shit sometimes, and it really shows. And I'm gonna really say something y'all ain't gonna like, and I'm gonna get shit for this if this gets clipped. I hate listening to Tiffany Stratton talk. I hate listening to her cut promos. I hate it. I hate her voice. I'm sorry. I'm sure she's a really sweet person in real life. Character wise, I hate that shrill, preppy, because it's Tiffy time. I hate that shit. I'm from Florida. Leave that shit on the fucking West Coast in California where it belongs.
Hey, whoa.
Snug, you can tell me right now, you know at least 20 Tiffany Strattons in person. So, you know, high-pitched, highly over-preppy, beauty pageant fucking, like, everything they fucking say has got to be at an octave hitting the ceiling. And it's grating to listen to her talk. Especially when you have someone who talks low-pitched like Charlotte, medium-pitched like Alexa, and then you have this super contrasted fucking high-pitched sound in a microphone. It's literally how I feel. Like, I love Nia, but when Nia opens her mouth sometimes, I'm like, shut the fuck up. Too high-pitched voice, because Nia be like, I'm Nia Jax, okay? I'm the monster of the women's division, and you girls can't handle me. Like, it's the same thing. It's like, bro, oh, that's your voice. Just shut up and wrestle. You know, like, I hate this because, and you, I'm going to get some shit for this, but y'all can kiss my ass. I hate the women's title program on SmackDown because Tiffany is the champion. I don't like her at all, period. I'm sorry, I don't. The only reason she got through that match at Mania is because Charlotte was carrying her 80% of the time. And as far as I'm concerned, half the time her timing is off when she wrestles, or the people she's wrestling with are off time. She doesn't feel like she has chemistry with anybody in the ring she's ever in the ring with. Because every match she's in, there's a botch or there's nearly a near-miss fucking fatal accident that fucking happens with everybody she wrestles with, whether it's her fault or their fault. I never get into her matches because I'm like, is this the time she's going to fucking break her arm? Is she going to get dropped on her head? And like, I watch her wrestle and I worry about her. I don't like that. But I can't wait till she loses this fucking title. I really can't. As far as concerned, I thought the match, man, booked into a corner and then you closed the corner in with like trash cans. Like you went in the corner and then you barricaded yourself in the corner. Here's an easy solve. Don't put Zelina Vega in the match. Why does your fucking mid-card champion, newly crowned mid-card champion for the women's division, need to be in a qualifying match for Money in the Bank to be a world champion? She's already got a fucking title. You know who I saw on the show tonight that could have been in that match in her place for fucking pin fodder? Candice LeRae. And as far as I'm concerned, your champion should, I don't care if you're trying to make Julia look strong. Why are you making the newcomer whom you can't even decide what fucking side she leans on, face or heel? Because you're right, it's confusing. Did she turn babyface when she rejected Roxanne, or did she stay heel and just go, hey, I'm a better heel than you, I don't need you? Don't fucking know. We haven't heard her cut a promo to figure out where she is mentally. So that's confusing. So we don't even know the dynamic of the match. Is it one face against two heels or two faces against one heel? Like, what the fuck's going on? So, and for me, why on earth are you sacrificing your champion's credibility by having her eat the pin from a newcomer who just came up from the developmental brand? Okay? Your main roster veteran champion just ate a pin from the developmental talent call-up. If she had pinned Charlotte, I'd have been even more mad. Because, not because I love Charlotte, Charlotte is a future Hall of Famer, the record holder for the most women's championships in history. That woman eating a pin from a developmental talent in WWE lore, we know she's world-renowned everywhere else, but here, this is WWE, this ain't everywhere else, having Charlotte eat the pin would have been the only thing that made sense in this match, and it still would have been the wrong call. To get her a win on Charlotte that quickly on free TV would have been a horrible decision. That is a win you save for a massive PLE after a story build. Case in point, you didn't let Tiffany beat Charlotte until WrestleMania. So why on earth would you let Julia beat Charlotte on free TV, right? So then you're forced to have her beat your champion in a division on free TV when you had fucking her win it on free TV just a few weeks ago, instead of putting it on Mania, where it could have been won for a much bigger moment. Here's the fix. Take Zelina out, put Candice LeRae or whomever else is enjoying nice catering in. Have them eat the fucking pin. Or if you have to pin Charlotte, if you absolutely have to, have it be in a way that protects her in the finish. Either she got hit with a big move or something, or it was a surprise roll-up because of a distraction from Tiffany Stratton. Something that protects Charlotte eating the pin in the finish. Or here's a better idea, just have Charlotte win. Or just have Zelina win. Have Zelina, hell, if Charlotte wins, Charlotte pinning Julia makes hell of a lot more sense than Julia pinning your fucking champion or the legend in the match. And I don't care how much y'all hate Charlotte. If you're going off of, you're saying, oh, Charlotte should have lost and gotten pinned because I don't like Charlotte, then you're not thinking like an actual wrestling analyst. You're just thinking with your fucking head or your heart here, not your head. Listen to real logic here. What logic is there to have the new developmental talent come up and pin Charlotte fucking Flair or your champion in her first fucking match? This is not Paige getting a surprise roll up on AJ Lee on her first call up. Okay, this is Julia, who's already been debuted on the main roster for a couple weeks, and you have her pin a champion. You okay? If that's logic, should have just had Joe Hendry pin Randy fucking Orton at Mania.
Okay, I think we're reaching here.
Betty yet.
No, but again, you're talking about
wait.
A guy in the business pinning a legend, an active legend like Randy Orton, one of the highest ranked fucking title holders in history, first ballot Hall of Famer, in his own home turf, right? Julia just fucking got here. They haven't been able to figure out what to do with her since she got to NXT last summer.
Hold on there, but Mr. Blood.
Getting a champion on the main roster.
Give me a second real quick, Blood. Go ahead, Toxic.
So going off of Mr. Blood's logic that Zelina shouldn't even be in the match. So Jacob Fatu should not be in the Money in the Bank qualifying match.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. We're gonna talk about that.
He shouldn't because what's the point? Exactly, he shouldn't. But I'm just saying, going off of your logic, it doesn't really make sense why Zelina and Jacob are in the matches, in the qualifying matches, when we already know Jacob Fatu is going to destroy whoever he's stepping in the ring with. So, my bad.
Yeah, we'll talk about it more here in a little bit when we get to that.
But you make a great point. It goes to the overall fact. Why are your people who are already crowned champions vying for a contendership for another title? Give other people a chance. You've got an overbloated roster, half of them sitting in the back eating catering. Give someone else a chance.
I just still don't understand the point of putting the Women's United States title on Zelina Vega. Like, based on what I've seen so far, I don't even think WWE sees her as a real champion because...
They don't. I guarantee you it's a demographic thing because WWE is all about analytics. Hey, you know what? We're kind of low in the Puerto Rican demographic or in the Spanish demographic. Have we had a Spanish champion in a long time? Well, we were going to put on Raquel and then she got injured. Well, you know, people like Zelina, right? They like her.
Yeah, and the way that they sized her up in the match when, you know, she was just kind of just like the third wheel. And the main focus was Charlotte and Julia, and Zelina Vega was just there. And then there was also a backstage segment with Chelsea Green walks up to Zelina and just towers over Zelina Vega. And Chelsea Green is just kind of just like, You just like, you're nothing. Just whatever. You're you know.
Again, like I said a couple weeks ago, they're trying to make her a female Rey Mysterio-esque character, the tiny Spanish underdog who can win with the heart and the gumption that it takes to win when her back's against the wall. That's how they've been booking her for 3 years.
Yeah, she's been champion now for today marked 1 month of Zelina Vega as Women's United States champion. And, I mean, has it been an interesting title run? I don't think so.
No, it's barely been a run. And look, we're not knocking Zelina. Zelina has a great crowd connection. She is a great performer. But if you're putting her in the ring with a ring general like Charlotte fucking Flair and a quote-unquote newcomer developmental who's also proven that she has the ability to be a master ring general someday in her own fucking rights and is quite the technician, Zelina Vega is not even close to their level. I'm sorry, she's not.
No, she's not. Let's go BT and then Tommy and then we'll move on.